window. So, the damn watch. That damn Vimes. Exactly the wrong man in the wrong place. Why didn't people learn from history? Treachery was in his very genes. How could a city run properly with someone like that poking around? That wasn't what a watch was for. Watchmen were supposed to do what they were told and see to it that other people did too. Someone like Vimes could upset things. Not because he was clever. A clever watchman was a contradiction in terms. But sheer randomness might cause trouble. The gun lay on the table. What shall I do about Vimes?
Kill him.
Angua woke up. It was almost noon. She was in her own bed at Mrs. Cake's, and someone was knocking at the door.
"Hmm?"
she said.
"I don't know. Shall I ask him to go away?"
said a voice from around the keyhole level. Angua thought quickly. The other residents had warned her about this. She waited for her cue.
"Oh, thanks, love. I was forgetting," said the voice.
You had to pick your time with Mrs. Cake. It was difficult living in a house run by someone whose mind was only nominally attached to the present. Mrs. Cake was a psychic.
"You've got your precognition switched on again, Mrs. Cake," said Angua, swinging her legs out of bed and rummaging quickly through the pile of clothes on the chair.
"Where'd we got to?"
said Mrs. Cake, still on the other side of the door.
"You just said, 'I don't know, shall I ask him to go away, Mrs. Cake?'" said Angua.
Clothes. That was always the trouble. At least a male werewolf only had to worry about a pair of shorts and pretend he'd been on a brisk run.
"Right," Mrs. Cake coughed. "There's a young man downstairs asking for you," she said.
"Who is it?"
said Angua. There was a moment's silence.
"Yes, I think that's all sorted out," said Mrs. Cake. "Sorry, dearie, I get terrible headaches if some people don't fill in the right bits. Are you human, dear?"
More usually, a landlady would ask, "Are you decent?" But Mrs. Cake knew her lodgers.
"You can come in, Mrs. Cake."
It wasn't much of a room. It was mainly brown. Brown oilcloth flooring, brown walls, a picture over the brown bed of a brown stag being attacked by brown dogs on a brown moorland against a sky which, contrary to established meteorological knowledge, was brown. There was a brown wardrobe. Possibly, if you fought your way through the mysterious old coats, brown, hanging in it, you'd break through into a magical fairyland full of talking animals and goblins, but it'd probably not be worth it. Mrs. Cake entered. She was a small, fat woman, but made up for her lack of height by wearing a huge black hat. Not the pointy witch variety, but one covered with stuffed birds, wax fruit, and other assorted decorative items, all painted black. Angua quite liked her. The rooms were clean and brown. The rates were cheap, and Mrs. Cake had a very understanding approach to people who lived slightly unusual lives and had, for an example, an aversion to garlic. Her daughter was a werewolf, and she knew all about the need for ground floor windows and doors with long handles that a paw could operate.
"He's got chain mail on," said Mrs. Cake. She was holding a bucket of gravel in either hand. "He's got soap in his ears, too."
"Oh, right.
"I can tell him to bugger off if you like," said Mrs. Cake. "That's what I always do if the wrong sort comes around. Especially if they've got a stake. I can't be having with them sort of thing people messing up the hallways, waving torches and stuff."
"I think I know who it is," said Angua. "I'll see to it." She tucked in her shirt.
"Pull the door to if you go out," Mrs. Cake called after her as she went out into the hall. "I'm just off to change the dirt in Mr. Winkin's coffin on account of his back giving him trouble."
"It looks like gravel to me, Mrs. Cake."
"Orthopaedic, see?"
Carrot was standing respectfully on the doorstep with his helmet under his arm and a very embarrassed expression on his face.
"Well," said Angua, not unkindly. Good morning. I thought, you know, perhaps you not knowing very much about the city, really, I could, if you like, if you don't mind, not having to go on duty for a while, show you some of it."
For a moment, Angua thought she'd contracted prescience from Mrs. Cake. Various futures flitted across her imagination.
"I haven't had breakfast," she said. "They make a very good breakfast in Gimlet's Dwarf Delicatessen in Cable Street." "It's lunchtime."
"It's breakfast time for the night watch."
"I'm practically vegetarian."
"He does a soya rat,"
she gave in.
I'll fetch